Chapter 9. Osiris Base. Jake finished strapping down Hathor's load. A few meters away, Anna stood on top of Anubis in her spacesuit, tightening the cargo net, and past her, Daniel and Megan fastened a few last bags onto Isis's roof rack. The dust they'd kicked up hung like a low fog around their ankles. Megan's voice echoed in their helmets.
"Is this the last of it?"
Jake raised his gauntlet in a thumbs up.
"Tighten it down and let's get moving."
"Still can't believe we're running to escape a zombie horde," said Daniel with a shake of his head.
"Believe it," Jake said. "Anna, get down below and check the batteries. Start with Anubis. Make sure we've got a full charge on everything. Swap them out with the spares if you have to."
"Got it."
She turned and felt for the ladder.
"Daniel, you've got Isis. Megan, do a wheel check. All six on all three."
"We just did a wheel check last week," she said.
"And today we're being chased by an army of walking corpses. I don't want to lose a wheel halfway to Luna City."
"Okay."
Something leaped up and flashed in the sunlight between Megan and Daniel. They both jumped back. She fell onto the pile of duffels and cases. He teetered on the edge of the roof. One of the straps on Isis had popped free and bounced back and forth between them.
"Easy," said Jake. "Megan, give him a hand."
Daniel swung his arms, shifting his weight in the low gravity. He twisted at the hips and his voice echoed over the comm.
"Oh, Jesus!"
He tipped slowly out over the edge.
"Grab him!"
Jake saw a glimpse of movement down at ground level. Anna or someone moving to help. At the moment, he couldn't spare the attention. Megan rolled to her knees and lunged for Daniel. She got one thick arm around the bulky legs of his suit and reached up to grab his belt with her other hand. Isis lurched as if it had struck a rock at full speed. Then it shook again. And again.
"They're here!"
Daniel yelled as he fell in slow motion straight out from the roof and tilting lower. Megan's grip on his legs twisted and her hand dropped from his belt to paw at his knees, then grab his ankle. He swung upside down from the roof, Megan clinging to his boots. Jake looked between the parked buggies where dozens of pale fingers reached up for Daniel. Inside Anubis, the shout from the speakers made Callie's head snap around. The box of freeze-dried emergency rations dropped to the floor. She ran to the front of the buggy and looked out the curving windshield. A dead man stared back up at her. He had dark skin, made pale by death and cold. He wore a black suit, and his maroon tie had a silver pin through it, a retro style that had been big 7 or 8 years back. He raised a hand with a thick wedding band on it and slapped it against the lower edge of the windshield. Callie leaped back. The dead man smacked the glass again and again. He left frozen bits of himself on the clear material. Another corpse walked up behind the man and joined in the pounding. Then a third. She felt pretty sure the buggy was strong enough, but she took another step back. It crossed her mind that being another half meter away wouldn't save her if the windshield did break. She reached down to activate her tab. A faint noise from the main cabin caught her attention and forced a swear out through her lips. The first thing she'd done in Anubis had been to replace the dead spider plants with clean, healthy ones. Now, before her eyes, they withered and curled. The narrow leaves turned brown and rained onto the floor with dry scrapes and rustles. Daniel's voice blasted over the open channel again.
"Pull me up! Pull me up!"
Jake saw them stumbling in the spaces down between the bulk of the buggies. Dozens of well-dressed dead things. The tallest one stood almost a meter and a half below. No wonder nobody'd noticed them.
"Stop thrashing!"
shouted Megan.
"They've got my helmet!"
yelled Daniel. Thuds echoed inside his suit as he tried to bat the grasping fingers away.
"Pull me up!"
Megan gave a huge heave. Daniel's body came up and was jerked right back down.
"They're pulling him!"
she screamed.
"Help me!"
Wagid's voice came over the comm.
"Jake, what's going on out there?"
"Help!"
yelled Megan. She tried to throw one leg up to plant a foot to get more leverage. The things below pulled again and jerked her back to her knees. Jake took a breath, two quick steps, and threw himself across the 3 meters separating Hathor and Anubis. Dead things reached up for him as he passed over their heads. He slammed into Anna and they both went down. He felt his knee wrench around inside the leg of his suit.
"Oh, Jesus!"
yelled Daniel. The sound of fingers drumming on his helmet muffled his words.
"They've got the latches! Jesus, they're undoing the latches!"
He tried to beat the prying fingers away.
"Somebody talk to me!" shouted Wagid over the radio. "What's going on out there?"
Jake pulled himself to his feet. His knee hurt, but he didn't need to put much weight on it. A sharp click echoed through the earpieces.
"They opened another one!"
Daniel gasped.
"Oh, Jesus! Pull me up! Get me out of here!"
"What do we do?"
wheezed Anna. She made small, quick movements with her hands.
"What do we do? What do we—"
Jake limped to the edge of Anubis and made another lunge across the open space. The dead reached for him again, fine cufflinks and rings and bracelets glinting as their arms came out of the shadows. He landed on Isis's roof and threw himself next to Megan just as a loud, dull bang echoed across the channel. Daniel's shouts cut off. He lurched upward, propelled by a last few frozen bits of atmosphere puffing out from his open collar. The two caretakers wrestled him onto the buggy's roof. The vehicle shook as the crowd of the dead resumed their pounding. Blood sizzled from Daniel's nose and his ears and froze into dark pearls. His eyes clenched shut. His mouth worked frantically, spitting nuggets of blood as his gloves clawed at the empty space around his head.
"Inside!" shouted Jake.
He grabbed Daniel and dragged him to the end of the buggy's roof. Down below, the well-dressed zombies around the rear platform stretched up their arms at him. On either side of the ladder hung another spacesuit and an empty bracket. Jake wrapped his arms around Daniel and jumped, aiming for the center of the platform. The impact made his knee flare and knocked the other man from his arms. Daniel dropped to the edge of the platform and twitched on impact. The dead grabbed at him. Jake seized a handful of spacesuit and pulled against the horde. Megan landed next to him and joined in the gruesome tug of war. They jerked Daniel's body away from the dead and shoved him back at the brackets. His suit hit the edge, then the other edge. On the third try, they both felt the clack as the suit snapped into place.
"We're too late,"
said Megan.
"No,"
shouted Jake. He looked at Daniel's bloody face as he yanked the lever. It resisted his pull. He yanked again, and again. His eyes found the empty collar of the suit where the helmet had been removed.
"Suit won't open if it's not in the bracket. Hatch won't open if the suit's not there."
"Damn it!"
He spun and pawed at the helmet on one of the empty suits. He smacked at the latches, popping them open one by one.
"Jake,"
Megan said,
"it's too late."
"I can do it."
He wrestled with the last latch and tried to pull the helmet away. It twisted against the top of the suit.
"It's too late,"
Megan repeated.
"Jake," said Wagid's voice, "I'm getting nothing from Daniel. He's gone."
Daniel's head hung low against the collar of his spacesuit. His eyes were open. Freezing had made them pale gray, and a thick web of burst capillaries spread across them. Jake looked at the dead man's face for a minute, and then slammed his fist into the empty suit he'd been wrestling with.
"Shit!"
He punched the suit again. Megan sniffled.
"Jake," said Wagid, "you and Megan get back on top of Isis."
"Yeah. Okay,"
Jake said. He took in a deep breath, filling his lungs, and let it whistle out through his teeth.
"We're good out here, boss."
"Really?
All things considered."
"What's going on over there?" asked Anna. "Are you coming back up?"
"Anna, just give us a minute, okay?"
A forest of outstretched arms surrounded the platform on three sides. Pressed against the back wall of Isis on either side of Daniel's body, the caretakers were just out of the crowd's grasp.
"Okay,"
Jake said, locking eyes with Megan. You going to be all right? She glanced at Daniel's bloody face and gave a weak nod.
Hey, said Jake. Don't look at him, okay? You don't want to remember him that way, and he wouldn't want us thinking about him like that. He'd want us to be safe. Right?
She gave another nod, a stronger one.
Right.
Okay, then. Let's get back up to the roof, away from these things. You first.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'll be fine.
Megan looked at the grasping hands of the undead surrounding them. Some of them could just brush her boots with their fingers. Gold and diamond rings glinted everywhere.
I'm not sure I can get over to the ladder without them grabbing me.
You can do it. Just stay close to Daniel. Work your way around him, and then you and I will switch places, okay?
Okay.
She reached her arm around the dead man and grabbed Jake's hand. Pressing herself up against the body, she started to shuffle her feet across the platform. She was gasping a bit, and it was making her helmet fog up.
Calm down, said Jake. It's awful, yeah. But just be calm. It'll be fine.
I'm trying.
You're doing great. Think about how easy this really is. This is nothing.
Another voice crackled on the comm.
Are you guys almost back up?
Not now, Anna.
Megan was face to face with Daniel when his head jerked up to stare at her. The dead man's arms swept her away like a bug. Her hands slipped out of Jake's before he knew what was happening. She stumbled off the back of the platform and fell into the horde. She screamed long and loud, drowning out everything else on the comm.
Shit!
Jake looked at her spacesuit floating on top of a sea of arms and hands and heads with patchy hair. She thrashed and tried to climb across the bodies back to the platform. Daniel's head swung to glare at Jake, and the heavy arms of the spacesuit came up again. Jake blocked the blow and grabbed the arm. The dead man's other arm flailed at him, unable to reach across the bulk of the suit. Megan screamed as she sank into the crowd of bodies. The dead clawed at her with greedy fingers, and she thrashed and batted at them as best she could. They grabbed at the latches and seals of her spacesuit, twisting, pulling. A harsh hiss spat out of the comms. Then the channel went silent as her suit came apart in the dead hands. Every latch released, every seal opened. Helmet, shoulders, gloves, boots. Jake glimpsed her terrified face as she dropped to the ground, surrounded by a cloud of frozen air. Completely exposed on the surface of the moon. Then the dead pushed in around her, and she vanished. Jake clenched his teeth. The fingers of Daniel's free hand brushed his helmet again and again. He batted them away. One of the dead man's legs kicked him clumsily, and he drove his boot into its thigh. It made his knee burst with pain again.
"What happened?"
asked Anna.
"What happened to Megan?"
"Shut up, Anna," said Wagid's voice.
A deep breath whispered over the channel.
"Jake, get on top of Isis. Please, I need you to do that for me."
"Just a minute."
Jake tightened his grip on the dead man's arm and released the bracket holding the suit's backpack. The thing that had been Daniel dropped away from the port. It tried to turn, but his grip on the sleeve kept it twisted away from him. He gave a good shove that sent the zombie off the platform and into the crowd. The dead made no move for him. Daniel vanished into the mass of bodies and struggled to his feet a few moments later. Wagid's voice buzzed in his helmet again.
"Jake,
climbing up,"
he said. He grabbed the rungs and pulled himself back to the buggy's roof. Below him, the dead slammed into the buggy again. Isis shuddered under their assault.
"Oh, thank God,"
said Anna as his helmet came back into view.
"Thank God."
Jake struggled to his knees on the vehicle's roof, ignoring the pain. He climbed to his feet and limped to the corner of Isis, looking out across Osiris Base. The buggy gave another jolt and he stepped back from the edge. At least 200 zombies swarmed the three buggies. They surrounded each one and filled the spaces between them. They pressed up against the rear platforms and docking hallways. Hundreds more pounded at the walls and hatches of Osiris Base. As far as Jake could see, countless others stumbled across the lunar plains toward the base.
"They're everywhere," Anna's voice had a brittle, crackling edge. "I think they're all around the base."
"How?" muttered Jake. He tipped his helmet forward to look down at the crowd below.
"How the fuck did they get here so fast?" "We'll figure it out later," Wagid said. "Let's finish loading the buggies and get going to Luna City. Plenty of time to talk on the way."
Jake watched the horde of corpses. He could see Daniel in the crowd. The preacher looked up at him with frozen eyes.
"Boss," said Jake, "we have to go now."
"We're almost ready," said Wagid. "Do you think you can sit tight for another 20 minutes or so?"
"No," said Jake. "Now. Right now."
"What's up?"
"These things," he said. "Whatever they are, they're not stupid. They didn't rip open anyone's spacesuits, they just opened the seals."
Wagid made a quick, sputtering noise.
"What?"
"You heard me. Right now, there's 50 or 60 people around each docking hallway. I think if they get a sense of people going back and forth to the buggies, they might figure out what's going on and uncouple them."
A new voice cut in, Henri.
"They can't know how to do that."
"They knew enough to undo the latches on Daniel's and Megan's suits," said Jake.
"Jake, this is Callie. I'm already on board Anubis."
"Sit tight. Anna's on your roof."
"Okay," said Wagid. "Everyone calm down and shut up. Here's what we're going to do. Tessa had Isis ready to go about 10 minutes ago, just before all of this went mad, and came back inside with us. We've already got Mikhail on a stretcher. Thomas and Henri are going to carry him on board, and then they're ready to go. Jake?"
"Yeah?"
"Can you get back over to Anubis?"
Down below, another face rose out of the horde, framed with blonde hair. Megan stared up at Jake. Her blue eyes had turned chalk white when they froze, and a fan of blood spread from her nose and mouth across her lower face. The last sections of her limp spacesuit draped over her. She raised her bare arms to him, welcoming him to her. She'd made a similar gesture a few times in the past, after particularly long and stressful days. He shuddered.
"Pretty sure I can make it. Yeah.
That's you, Callie, and Anna, then. As soon as you're over there, she can move out. Tessa, Izmi, and I will load up with supplies and get on Hathor. One trip, and we're all on board."
"Sounds good," said Henri.
Jake waved Anna to the side, and she moved to give him a landing zone. He backed up, took a bounding step, and Isis shook hard. His knee flared during launch, a bad jump even for him. The top of Anubis was too far and he dropped too fast. He knew he wasn't going to make it, and then the vehicle's low railing caught him in the thighs just below his hips. He slammed forward and grabbed at the cargo straps, his legs dangling in the air. He felt the dead beating on the side of the buggy in excitement. A moment later, Anna had his arm and dragged him all the way onto the roof.
"I felt that," said Callie in his ear. "All aboard?"
"Yeah,"
Jake said.
"Hang on, I'm going to release the dock and pull away. Maybe some of them will follow us."
Anna clutched his arm and Jake could see the panic in her face. They felt the tremble as the docking hallway unlatched and swung clear. The vibration of the motors buzzed through the hull as Anubis rolled out of the docking bay. The dead slapped and pawed at the vehicle. It bumped and swayed a few times as they fell beneath the tread-like metal tires. Part of the horde broke away to stagger after them. Then more. Close to 100 corpses lumbered after Anubis.
"The damned stretcher doesn't fit,"
Thomas announced over the comm. We can't get it through the main hatch. We've got to dump it.
Just do it, said Wagid. We're in. Hathor is powering up.
Back at the base, the next buggy flared to life. The dock retracted. The dead flowed into the space it opened. They clawed at the exposed hatch on the vehicle's side.
We should go back, Anna said suddenly. What?
Asked Callie from inside.
It's okay,
Jake told Anna. He took her shoulders and turned her to meet his eyes. He touched his visor to hers so she could feel his voice.
We're going to be okay now.
Her eyes broke his gaze and flitted around Anubis's roof rack.
It's not worth it, she said. We should just get back inside where it's safe.
Anna tried to climb to her feet and Jake yanked her back down.
Take it easy, he said.
She tensed under his hands and he pressed down a bit more on her shoulders.
As soon as we're a bit farther away, we'll climb down and get inside.
No, she said. We can't stay out here with these things.
Her head shook back and forth inside the helmet.
It's okay, Anna, said Callie. We're all clear now. It's going to be a smooth ride.
Jake heard a click and Callie's voice whispered to him over a private channel.
She sounds like she's losing it.
Doesn't look that great either, he murmured. Think she's going to be okay once we're inside with you and she doesn't have to keep looking at them.
A flash of white reflected in Anna's helmet. Jake turned back to see the last of a geyser of frozen air spraying from Isis's side. The dead dragged the jointed hallway away from the buggy. Hathor rolled to a stop. Anubis moved on a few more meters before it halted too.
Son of a bitch, said Wagid.
Was that what I thought it was?
Yeah, said Jake. They blew the hallway seals, probably used the emergency releases.
Wagid cleared his throat.
Thomas? Henri? You guys on board Isis?
A crackle of static sounded over the channel.
I'm here, boss, said Henri. I'm back in the base. We got Mikhail on board and brought the stretcher back inside. Force of habit not to clutter the docking hallway.
And Thomas?
A long silence stretched out over the radio.
Emergency hatch engaged, Henri said. Thomas was still in the hallway.
A few muffled noises echoed over the comms. A faint gasp from Callie, almost muffled by the louder one from Anna. A loud bang that Jake felt sure was Wagid smacking the arm of his chair. Their boss spoke a moment later.
Mikhail? He's inside the buggy. Should be okay. If Isis did an emergency seal and restore.
Henri coughed.
He's strapped down pretty solid on the couch. If he comes out of it, I'm not too sure he'll be able to get free.
Jake cleared his throat and stared back at the buggy. The cloud of frozen air drifted down around it like slow snow.
Are we even sure Isis got her hatch sealed in time?
Not really. Systems were on, but we hadn't woken her AI up yet.
Okay, Wagid said. Okay, we're only about 300 meters away. I'm going to back up and get Hathor docked again. You're going to have to move fast,
boss, said Henri. Don't.
Another few beats of silence passed by.
What do you mean? You know what I mean. I'm in your office, looking at the cameras. You'll never make it back and you know it. Hell, looks like most of them are going after you now, anyway.
From his position on top of Anubis, Jake looked out at the dusty plains separating them from the base. Over 1,000 former clients staggered between Osiris and the buggies. A few dozen still pawed at the walls, but most of them were focused on the two moving vehicles. More flowed out from around the base, like a swarm of monstrous ants. Ismi's voice chimed in over the comm.
What are you going to do?
I'll just stay in here. I'll lock the inner bulkheads, make it good and safe. I've got plenty of food and water and air. I can live here for months before things even get tight. I'll be fine.
No,
said Anna. She stepped past Jake toward the ladder at the rear of the buggy.
No, 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 no.
He wrapped his bulky arms around her as best he could and rocked her gently until she was quiet.
What if they get in? Asked Wagid. I will cross that bridge when I come to it, said Henri. You're all away. That's what's important. Send help when you can.
Are you sure?
I'm sure. I've been in the death business a long time now. These things don't scare me as much as they probably should.
We could still
go, said Henri.
His voice caught for a moment, but he made it sound like a cough.
I'll see you all when you get back. Until then, I'm sealing the hatches and going through everyone's things.
A few chuckles echoed over the channel. None of them sounded very amused. They were cut off by Anna.
No!
She hissed.
Why does he get to stay?
Her wide eyes darted from Jake to the base to the crowd of dead people staggering after them.
Not like he's got a choice, Jake told her.
He keyed the private channel again.
Gonna try to bring her in. She's about 2 seconds from snapping.
Sounds about 2 seconds past it to me,
said Callie. Jake guided Anna to the ladder. She swung the bulk of her spacesuit over the edge and climbed down with slow, stiff movements.
Okay then, old-timer, Wagid said on the main channel. If you're sure. Go already, they're getting close to you.
Hathor's wheels dug at the dust and the buggy started forward again. Callie waited for the other vehicle to pass and then Anubis fell in behind it. Jake shot a last look back at Osiris from on top of the buggy. At least 20 or 30 dead people pawed at the hatches. He swung himself around to grab the ladder.
Henri.
Yes.
Bottom left drawer of my desk, some retro porn, half a liter of Jamaican rum, and a bottle of sleeping pills.
He let the inventory sink in.
All yours. Thank you, Jake. It's appreciated.
Anna reached the bottom of the ladder, turned, and screamed. Jake wrenched around on the ladder so he could get a look. His knee throbbed as his bulky suit swung out. The dead followed from a distance, but still close enough that he could pick out features and details.
We have to get back inside,
Anna shrieked.
It's not safe out here.
We'll be inside in just a minute, Jake told her.
He swung back and let himself drop down 2 more rungs.
I'll help you get in the bracket. Just wait for me, okay?
Don't you understand?
The question didn't seem to be aimed at him.
It's not safe.
Jake, Callie said, what's going on?
Yeah, what the hell is going on back there? Asked Wagid. Shock, said Jake as his boots touched the platform. Just a little stressed, but she's going to be fine.
He reached out to guide Anna into the port's bracket. She twisted away as his hand brushed her shoulder and took 2 big, rushed steps. Not the kind of movements someone thinking clearly would make on the moon.
Don't!
Snapped Jake. Anna leapt from the buggy's rear platform.
Shit!
He said. She sprawled on the ground in a blast of dust. A foot to the left and she would have come down visor first in a patch of stones. She wrenched herself to her feet and ran for the base with huge, lunging strides.
We have to get back inside!
Anubis lurched to a halt. Callie had either seen the leap in the rear camera or made an educated guess to slam on the brakes.
Back up, Jake ordered. Back up after her!
Anna bounded toward the walking dead, cutting the meters that separated them in seconds. She aimed for a thin part of the horde, dodged one pair of outstretched arms, then another. Her spacesuit pushed deeper and deeper into the mass of bodies. For a moment, Jake thought she might make it. A pearl-skinned woman grabbed Anna's backpack and slowed her just enough for a dead child to wrap its arms around her leg. Anna struggled on for another 2 or 3 meters, dragging the child, and then a man with wild gray hair seized her arm. The woman took hold of the backpack again, and another dead man set his stiff hands down on Anna's shoulders, just like Jake had done a few minutes earlier. Anna disappeared behind a wall of corpses. Jake saw the top of her helmet bobbing amidst the heads for a moment, and then it vanished too. She never screamed, but her panicked babbling collapsed into incoherent syllables. Then the helmet flew free, riding a plume of freezing air almost 2 meters into the lunar sky.
"Jake," Wagid said, "we just lost Anna's suit. Is she?"
"Drive," said Jake.
"Do we want to try to—"
"Drive! We can't sit here and see who dies next."
Anubis and Hathor covered almost a kilometer before Jake slotted his suit into the bracket. The horde swelled behind them. 3,000 or 4,000 zombies, at least, lumbering after the vehicles. Osiris was already a distant white island floating in a sea of the dead. He pulled the lever and dragged himself into the airlock.